Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
You have been admitted.
Oh.
You have been admitted to the Game Classy podcast.
Very good. Very, very good.
Hey, everybody. We're recording today on a Tuesday at night, so this is going to be a whole different vibe than what you're used to.
It's Tuesday. I'm absolutely obliterated from work today, so I'm like, I'm tired, man.
I'm tired.
Yeah, no, I had this. It's a Magic pre-release week, so I am kind of like max.
Oh, Magic the game. I thought you meant like it's just like it's a Magic pre-release week. Like the week itself is Magic.
No. The CCG. It is a pre-release week, so I'm taxed to the limit every day. So. It's rough, man. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving parts.
I would take it. You sound beat. You know. Do you want to take it a little mellow? Maybe listen to some yacht rock.
No, I'm gonna. I mean, I'm also extra because I mean, I fucking ran, 4 miles. So
well, that's also, your own fault.
I mean, you know that cardio ain't gonna do. That car ain't gonna do itself. There we go.
It took you a while, but you got there.
Yeah, I couldn't decide. I was like trying to figure out where to chop it, and I decided at the end.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
So yeah, I'm glad you were actually. You were said like I can't do it this weekend because I really couldn't do it this weekend. I was gonna try and get it done on Saturday morning, but I gotta drive out to Woodstock, Illinois this weekend.
Wow, that was lucky.
Yeah, I know. It's a family wedding, so it's. I'm getting to the age where there's not many weddings I get to go to anymore, so I'm kind of looking forward to an open bar on this one.
I'm so glad I didn't have to go to a lot of weddings.
I mean, I enjoy weddings. It's just that, like, when I was younger, I was too young to truly appreciate, like, the wedding. Now that I'm old enough, I can, like, I can get a hotel room. I can do this. I can do that.
So, I had the opposite thing. I always had, like, the social anxiety. And then like as I've gotten older, it's gotten worse. So now it's like if someone invited me to a wedding, I just have to tell them no. Like I'm like, I can't go. Like I'd can't
be like,
I can't.
No.
Be like, I'm like, no, I can't. Like I can't do that. Like, yeah. Sorry. I can't be in a room with that many people. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work out for me.
I need to be in the room with all my jars of pee.
No, that's disgusting. That's the weird thing. I don't know how you could be like, was he a germaphobe?
Yeah, he was a germaphobe.
Did he also keep the pee?
Yeah, he kept the pee.
Huh. All right.
So as far as I know, I'm only basing my knowledge of Howard Hughes off of like all the weird shit that's been based off of him. So it's like I can't like say for sure he's been that, but like watching The Aviator or Mr. Birds, it all makes yes, it all Mr. merges Bird. Together.
Yes. Okay. Very good. I don't know. I'm just I was just wondering because like I mean. Like if you're a reclusive germaphobe, but that's the weird part. Like the people who keep like I don't know how you could.
You're like as a reclusive germaphobe. I will tell you.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's weird. Like it doesn't make any sense. Like it boggles my mind. Like that's so foul. That's like it's like keeping anathema like in your personal space. Hey.
Man, I used to work at Games Workshop Rainhurst, and the amount of pee bottles in the back was ridiculous. So
but that's the thing. That's not the point. I know the pee, like the gamer pee bottles is like it's so real. It's like a fucking huge meme.
Tis a meme.
But like, what I'm saying is, I don't know how you can also be a germaphobe. Because like usually when I think pee bottles, I think like the dudes who just like live in like pure filth. You know, like the what do they call them? Neat nests. Yeah. Yeah, like the dude's living in a neat nest. That's what I think of. I don't think of someone who's a germaphobe. Like a germaphobe recluse, that's someone I think of who like has like a very like sparse or like very orderly house.
I also think of Howard Hughes and his big jars of pee.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like he must have thought that there was no like germs in pee or something. He's probably like, it's sterile and I like the taste.
Yeah, I was gonna say pee is mostly sterile. Yeah,
it's sterile.
But anyway,
I like the taste.
You know, so as I told you guys, you're in for a weird treat tonight. We're on a Tuesday vibe.
Howard Hughes, P-jars.
P-jars is all over. Like, you know, and I will say that the gamer with the P-jar thing is part of the reason why I hate referring to myself as a gamer, because I'm not a video gamer in the least. And, you know, tabletop gaming is by definition social, because you are playing with other people. So you really can't have jars of pee while being social with other people. So it's kind of like the exact opposite of like a video gamer.
Right.
Yes. All right. So we got some fun news to talk about today. We got some fun discussions. We got all sorts of stuff. We got an appearance by Cookie the Clown. It's a whole thing. Yeah. So let's talk the big news. The Games Workshop decided to nuke a bunch of AOS armies. Age of Sigmar new editions coming out. We saw some of the models. They look pretty, but they also said we're taking out a ton of models and they're no longer going to be part of the range.
Yes. And let's not bury the lead. What this means in terms of like what's going on, they're going to keep them with digital rules legal until 2025, and then they're going to move them to Legends.
Yes.
Which Legends is, there's always a playable war scroll that exists. It's just not legal in tournaments. So I want you to, I need you to, everyone listening, you probably already know that, but keep that in mind while we have our little discussion here.
Yes. So I think the big thing that a lot of people are a little upset about is that the Sacrosanct Chamber for the Stormcast is getting nuked.
Yes.
That's a big one, because that was like a big one that you collected with second edition.
Yeah, and it's like, and like out of all these Stormcasts that get nuked, least surprising.
Yes. Did they nuke the original stuff, or is that just they didn't really nuke those? Because so, they're just getting resculpted.
Yeah. So here's what's happening. The Liberator. Well, sort of. I don't know. Well, we'll see. But they're basically Liberators. Anything in the old Liberator armor got canned.
Like if
it's in the old Liberator, it's gone. So that means all of your basic troops from first edition. So your Prosecutors, Liberators, Judicators, Paladins, basically any of like the basic infantry from first edition Age of Sigmar.
Yes.
And all of the characters that wear the same armor as well. So that means Lord Castellan, Lord Celestin, Lord Veritant, Lord Exorcist, Knight Heralder, basically all their characters from first edition are gone now as well.
Man, I sold all of my shit at the exact right time, because was not intending for that to happen. And I was just like, I'm getting rid of all my Stormcast shit. I made a ton of money off that army. It was a beautifully painted army, mind you, but I would not have gotten as much if I had not sold it when I did, which was literally about 6 months ago.
So those are basically like being rotated out. They'll be tournament legal up till 2025. Then they won't be tournament legal. Not that that's relevant, because almost every single thing. That's another important thing. The people bitching the most about this are the tournament, the quote unquote tournament players. These are all. There's a couple and I believe literally a couple relevant things leaving in terms of tournament play. Other than that, like just shit. Like it's all shit that like didn't sell. Nobody used. Like. Simple as that. The Sacrosanct Chamber is getting rotated because nobody bought that shit because it was fucking garbage in the game. And then, like, so GW's options are you can make them good or you can release new models and make them better. So
get good or get gone.
What I'm saying. So, like, yeah, it's so there's a lot of that stuff rotating essentially. But the all that stuff I mentioned, they're getting the new armor. So the armor that the Vindictors are wearing that has that kind of like.
It's thin. It's better proportioned.
Yeah, it's thinner, better proportions, and it has that like kind of chainmail. Cock area.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they're like, because they showed off the new Liberator model, and like he's literally called a Liberator. So like, that's why I don't think anyone was really like freaking out about Liberators. I think the big thing people are complaining about specifically, I mean, it could be wrong, but from what I've seen in the blogosphere,
are the Sacrosanct.
Of the Sacrosanct. Yeah, that's the thing. Like that's like the tweets I've seen, like people taking pictures of their Sacrosanct stuff, and I'm just like, so like it's gonna keep riding your shelf.
No. So Steve, have you seen any? Do we have any fire warnings yet? Has anybody set it on fire yet?
No. That's I have not seen anybody go that. But I just don't think there's that many people who own the Sacrosanct miniatures.
I had a bunch of them. I think I'm almost positive I sold all of them. I hope I sold all of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought a lot of second edition starter sets, you'll have a bunch, because that's all that was all that was in second edition. Yeah. And like, I mean, they were like decent for a little while, but they very rapidly got eclipsed and kind of like became shelf riders very fast. But I mean, that was like, that's the thing too. Like, one of the biggest complaints about the Stormcast in Age of Sigmar is the fact that the range is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the, and it's a legitimate complaint. Like, cause it's like, do I need all of this? Like, where do I start? So like the first thing you see when someone's starting a Sigmar army is they're like, what do I act like? Nobody can just go to the store and be like, oh, I want this guy and this guy and this guy. They have to ask people like, what should I buy? Cause they're like, it's not like every other army where they're like, yeah, you've got kind of like two melee infantry things, maybe like one or two shooting guys and then monsters. Like,
I will tell you this though. I've been playing, putting together and painting a lot of Warcry lately. Mm-hmm. I took a break from some from the Bretonians just to play some Warcry, and I'll go over that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the I was putting together some of the Stormcast from the Dominion box set, because you could use those in Warcry. And I gotta say, I really like those kits. That kit is really nice.
Oh, I love the Dominion stuff. The stuff's great.
I will never play it in AOS, but I gotta say, I really like the way the models look in the Dominion kit.
Yeah, they're awesome. It's a great box set, so makes sense. Yeah. All the figures are awesome. Yeah. I'm hoping that some of the ones that were new and just absolute dog shit from that starter get buffs so that like we'll actually use them.
Hint, they won't. No, what you'll probably, and actually I was just thinking this, is what you're probably going to get in the new box set is probably just a facelift on those older models.
Oh, absolutely. So
you'll probably see, like, there'll be paladins, there'll be prosecutors, they'll just be updated. They'll be with the new proportions and they'll look sexier.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other thing too, is like, people are going to be like, well, why can't I use my old models for it? Because they're going to have different stat lines, because they're saving, if I'm not mistaken, their saving throw shouldn't be as good, because the whole deal with this armor is that like it's more svelte, literally, like it is thinner armor. It's,
yeah,
it's lighter.
I mean,
armor.
You could use the old guys. That's fine. I don't think that anybody would ever say like you can't use the old, prosecutor models if they have new prosecutor models.
Yeah, as long as you didn't use both at the same time, I think that would be fine. Because I'm thinking the War Scroll is going to be significantly different.
Well, I mean, the War Scroll might be significantly different, but and you could use both. No one should really care. It's just, they're just toys.
Yeah, I mean, the rules of Warhammer have, the tabletop rules of conduct have, and in my opinion, always will and should be, as long as you and your opponent know what the fuck is going on, everything is copacetic.
There you go. So moving on from there, they nuked the whole Skaven line,
also not a surprise.
Not surprising. They're doing all new Skaven sculpts. They previewed those. They look fantastic.
Yes.
But what I think was interesting when they showed all of the stuff is that what they didn't put on there was the plastic plague monks.
I don't think plague monks are coming back.
No?
No.
They're not on the list, so that's why I thought that was interesting, is that they had like everything else except the plague monks, which I know was an army for a super long time in Age of Sigmar, and it probably come back, but I just thought that was interesting.
They're not rotating them out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're still gonna stay in the army range.
Right. But they're rotating the sensor bearer, which is really weird.
Yeah. Well, so this is another thing. So a bunch of rumors dropped today, and I sent you the list. I don't know if you ever got a chance to read it.
I didn't. I was fucking totally destroyed.
It's a fantastically interesting read. Is it real? And does it actually, is it true? Probably not 100%, because I think a lot of it is just like, I am inferring this based upon the way Games Workshop is acting. But one of the top thing it says is all resin is being phased out by 2025 to comply with new government rulings on non-recyclable plastic to avoid bigger tax charges.
I mean, that makes sense.
Which is interesting. Like, see, that's not necessarily true. It's just something that makes sense if you know this is the law and this is what Games Workshop is doing. Therefore, resin is probably going to go away.
Right. And you can, but also like that jives with, it absolutely jives with their actions too.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily this is a true rumor. This is just inferred from the actions on both ends, which put together probably is some truth to it. But yeah, the plague sensor bearers were only done in resin. I'm sure they might be metals on there. I do think that I have heard that there's plastic Giselles coming out, so who knows what's going on. I like that the rat ogres that they have are the really chunky fat ones from way back in the day, along with
they never did new ones.
I know
they only had the ones that were the two poses only from the one box set. Other than that, there's never been new ones.
Yes. And the you know, they have the gutter runners, but they don't have the night runners on here, which I thought was really, really funny, because if you remember, the night runners were like the last of the old fifth edition chunky kits.
Yep.
And they are ugly.
Yeah, they're not the best, that's for sure.
Then there was the orc bone splitters, which are the savage orcs. I have a feeling those are just getting folded back into the old world. Then there was the actually interesting one, which is the slaves to darkness are getting shelved, which is, these is all like the first few generation warbands from Warcry, which is a game I absolutely love. And all of these are getting folded in, which is another based off another rumor, which is that Warcry is getting a new edition, and in the new edition they're getting away from the chaos-y 8 points, which I think is a mistake, which that's like the thing I really love about Warcry, is like these crazy ass chaos-y warbands that look weird and fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they're going to like what they're currently doing, which is like, hey, here's a bunch of human guys, here's a bunch of elves, here's a bunch of blah 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 that are all kind of like of similar look, which is fine, but I can't.
Yeah, I mean, you can only do so many of these. That's the thing. I think their desire to make Warcry always compatible in both directions is a mistake.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think you need to make it compatible in both directions. Like, you really don't, because it's so narrow and so like it's almost like a token thing, and you kind of like fuck up your balance of your game because you're doing that. So like, example, I believe out of all of the stuff that was in the Warcry, like chaos dudes,
yeah,
just the iron golems made any sort of tournament appearance specifically because they were like the exact right number of points to fill like one of these chaos lists, and their job was to stand on an objective.
Yeah, so that was always a problem with the first edition of Warcry, was that they created these warbands, they gave you eight or nine models, and there was never enough points to like what they suggested as play. So like they said, like, we should play 800 points, and then you put all the guys together and they're like 650. Like, it's just not enough. However, in the newest edition that they put out for the second edition, Heart of Gur, they fixed all that. So all the points work with just like the solid what you get warbands. Mm-hmm. And so they beefed them enough so that they're stronger, that you can actually play with them. It's difficult because like one of the whole things about Warcry is that it's their new version of Mordheim. Like, they don't say it, but people don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. Yeah, I speak the truth. And people yell at me, but Warcry is their updated Mordheim. You can't have Mordheim because Mordheim doesn't exist as a city in AOS. So you have Warcry. It's basically the same idea, but it's infinitely better rules than Mordheim. Infinitely better rules.
Oh, sure.
And anybody who says otherwise is a liar. A dirty fucking liar.
Like, for me, my big thing is... Oh shit, my thought came and then disappeared. So my big thing is like all the
I never finished my thought, but go ahead. Yeah.
Carry on. Sorry, I didn't.
I was saying that it's Mordheim, but the whole thing with Mordheim is that you would buy your warband and then you could increase the size of your warband. And with the way that the models work in Warcry, it's almost impossible to increase the actual size of your warband with models from the same warband, because they're all... because you only get like 8 in a box or 9 in a box. So it's really difficult. Right. Now, I from what I've seen in the newer boxes, is they're giving you a lot more guys in there. So they might be kind of moving away from that and being like, okay, we're going to give you 10 guys. Because I think there's 10 guys in the new elf box set. And I don't know of any warband that's ever come with 10 full guys. So I'm not assuming that all 10 are going to, you know, equal... 1,000 points or 800 points or whatever. So you're going to have extras just in case.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't know what the business model for Mordheim made sense that way, because, you know, you literally would add one guy at a time.
Yeah.
So like that's, you know, that's sensical, but like you can't do that with the way they've set up Warcry. So it, I think it very rapidly, there's just too much, there's too much shit now. So like they have to do it, for me, it just looks like a Magic set rotation. It's like, yeah, basically all these things are being banned and the new stuff will be the contemporary stuff. And that's like, that's what I said in the, you know, in the Discord. I said, like, when you play a living game, there is an immutable fact. Your shit is going to not work someday.
Yes.
For some reason.
Well, that's you know, that's also part of that rumor set. It's like, it's interesting that this dropped the same time that we were talking about this, because they do say that they, and this is another thing where it's kind of like, is this true or is this person imprinting a lot of their thoughts on it? Because let me see. I wanna quote it exactly, but it's God damn. Oh, this is both major titles will see another. This is part of the Watsification of GW. So they put that in quotation, Watsification.
Okay.
And that doesn't make it sound like this is like something that's coming from the actual company. This sounds like something that this guy's like, they're just acting just like WotC.
Right.
At the advice of the shareholders and U.S. consultants, smaller, faster games with more focus on ease of entry, Combat Patrol and Spear Tips are intended to function like Magic the Gathering, pre-constructed commander decks, expensive lifestyle products that a player can buy, put together, and have a balanced game against each other. The intent over time is for less players with 30,000 points of Dark Angels and more players with 2,000 points in every army range. Which makes sense to me. I mean, like, that would make sense from a business standpoint. It also makes sense from the way that I play lately. I don't like to collect massive armies of like 10,000 points because I'll never play that.
I like building.
I'll make a solid 2,000 point army and just have fun with it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of building lists. And if I want to do like, even if I end up with like, quote unquote, 10,000 points, because I mean, I had a massive amount of armies of whatever thing. But even if I end up with that many points, it's usually because I have. It's not one army of 10,000 points. It's because I have this 2,000 point list, this 2,000 point list, and this 2,000 point list. And there's like no crossover. And that's why I have all the models.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And that's kind of what they're going for is I remember reading somewhere about it that, oh, here we go. Expect more than the Stormcast Eternals range, large range discontinuing. Post lockdown and Dominus, the people holding the purse strings, mainly those who jumped in from other parts of tabletop pie like TCGs, have been asking, what do you mean people buy product and may go a decade without buying more? That's not necessarily true, because I don't know anybody who buys a GW product, like an army, and then goes a full decade without buying more.
Yeah, that's something uttered by someone who's never actually talked to a Games Workshop fan.
And the new mandate is that a customer should be replacing their army every three to 4 years, which that actually makes a lot of sense. If you're playing like you have your army for longer than 4 years, A, that army is probably out of date and no fun to play, and B, you're just like a sad sack, and who wants to play you with your same fucking army every time for like 10 years? That doesn't make any sense. I'd hate that.
Yeah no guys,
like those guys come into the bunker and they would always have the same goddamn army over again, and you're just like, it's like, it's okay, this is my Rogue Trader Eldar army. I've had it since 1986. Good luck getting any money out of me.
Yeah. It's always funny because like that guy is always like miserable to play against.
Yeah.
He always gets shellacked because his shit is garbage. Yeah, I know. That guy's always the worst.
Yeah, the worst.
He's a different variant of that guy.
Well, so I mean, like that whole sentence, it's like it makes sense, but it's also like, who is this person that they're talking about? Because I don't know a single GW like, or a single tabletop fan for that matter, who does that. Because you know what? People play any game, they're going to get more than one army. I could tell you that. People who played Malifaux had multiple warbands. War Machine had multiple armies. Every game, these players have multiple armies that they play. So that doesn't sound completely correct to me. I think that it's just like, I don't know, it feels like projection to me.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like I would say that sounds like a very... what's the term? Educated guess.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Cause it like to me, like if you were to, whenever I hear something like that sounds very, very much like, yeah, that seems very legit. You know, it usually to me, I'm like, yeah, that seems about right. Like that sounds correct.
Educated guess. Yeah. Yeah, because there's the other army that's got discontinued was Beasts of Chaos. I had since they were added into the old world, I just assumed that range was getting shifted over to the old world.
It did. Yeah, it's specific. It's that, and then that makes sense. Beasts of Chaos were always a sticking point in Age of Sigmar, because I found that they were like they seemed to have like the old World of Warcraft warlock issue, where they like they could never ride the line. They were either dog shit or oppressively strong. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm telling you, like, Beasts of Chaos were like bottom one for like most of the lifespan of Age of Sigmar, and then like towards the end, Beastmen were insane. They might have been the most winningest army that's ever existed in Age of Sigmar.
Well, and this is another one with the rumors that sounds like a very, very educated guess, was that Beasts of Chaos are being moved to balance out the old world and have more variety to avoid another Horus Heresy, where players still scream for Eldar and Orcs to this day. I don't understand what that sentence means. I do know in Horus Heresy that people are always like, where's my Eldar? Where's my Orcs? But they're the people who, like, it's like, well, you don't need them. You can come play with this. I don't want to. It's like, you don't want to play with those people. Forget them. You know?
No, it's literally, what is it? It's like, it's FOMO trolling. It's a thing you see a lot in every game. If you play video games, competitive video games, like fighting games, especially, you see a lot, blah, 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 so on and so forth. It's almost like being a contrarian, but it's like, just something it's just some bullshit you're saying. It's like it's like real life engagement bait for social media.
I mean, I could see. No, I mean, that makes it actually, I kind of like that. I kind of like that analogy. I don't think it's perfect, but I like it. In terms of like, yeah, these guys are just trolling you. Basically, they had no intent of ever playing Horus Heresy, but they really are just, what they're looking for is a reaction.
Right. Yeah, they have no intent of playing Horus Heresy. They don't give a shit about Horus Heresy. Even if whatever they're about to say was released tomorrow for Horus Heresy, they will not.
They would never play it.
They would never play it. Yes, exactly. They're literally just trying to engage with you in a fucking obnoxious way. And I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yes, you hate that shit, but you also love doing it to people, because that's just kind of who we are as people.
You know, I haven't engaged in such tomfoolery in a long time, to be honest with you.
I'm too
chill maxed and happy pilled.
Maxed and happy pilled. And apparently this also says they were planned as an AOS revamp at the start of third edition, including Kragnos being the centerpiece, which was obviously scrapped. Instead, it's this, so they get a new TOW range without having to design one. That doesn't make any sense to me, because they would never redesign a range for the old world.
That's gobbledygook.
Yeah, that's gobbledygook. That makes no sense whatsoever. And they may have wanted to do like a big Beastman army at the start of third edition, but like if they were going to do that for AOS, I think they would have just done a full resculpt of the range. So yeah, that one is complete and utter garbage.
Right.
Because they would never redesign an army for the old world, unless specifically this was written pre the old world release, when we weren't sure what armies were going to be in there. And you and I were kind of like, well, why is it chaos uneven? Like, yes. Why is there, you know, on that end? So that could have been part of it, but I don't know. But they do say they do say that that was originally planned for third edition, and they did get a big release for third edition, and they did really well in it. Mm-hmm. So
they were
that's the big thing. And you said it as well, it's like these armies were doomed to get a soft soft cancellation.
Well, it's we call it I just use it as that's just like a nickname moniker, but a lot of people call things soft bans. Soft bans are like things that just aren't in the game, not because they're specifically prohibited, but because they're like bad or just not like example. Like if I made a fighting game and I patched one of the characters in one of my patches, so that character couldn't move anymore. And didn't say anything about it, didn't do anything about it. I've soft banned that character because no one is going to play a character that can't move. Like, he cannot play the game. No one will play that character. He's not illegal. You can still pick him. You can pick him at the character select screen, like anybody else. Your opponent can even select him. Be careful, because neither of you can move. But that's a soft ban. It's when you don't actually ban the character thing. And people also like to gussy it up and say it's power creep, which is power creep's essentially a form of soft banning. Because if I release your new unit that's just head and shoulders better than your current unit, you're going to eventually get the new unit. Like, it's just gonna happen. Like, you will eventually be like, man, when you get shellacked the fifth time in a row by your friend in the mirror match with the new unit that you don't have, you will buy the new unit.
It makes total sense. Yeah,
the old unit, you're never gonna touch the old unit again. What does it matter if you can buy more of it?
Exactly. I think for a lot of people, it's our old traditional. I was going to play Bretonians at one point.
That's the thing. I mean, I think there's a very specific mindset for a lot of people in our kind of age bracket. And I think, like, I know a lot of younger people are playing Warhammer now too, as well. And they play a totally different game than we do. But as far as like our like demographic, like, you know, the Grognards and the most of the dudes occupying places like Adepticon, I think there's still a mindset where people don't actually understand how massive a business Games Workshop is.
Yeah.
I don't think they get it. I think they still think it's like a boutique niche hobby. Yeah. It's not, fellas. Like, 40K is mainstream. Literally everyone knows about 40K. Everyone. 40K is 40K isn't just 40K is culture now. Like, literally everyone knows about 40K.
40K is my culture. My culture.
Well, I was going to say
culture is not a costume, Steve.
I was going to say pop culture, but I've tried to stop adding the moniker pop culture, because pop culture is just culture.
Yeah. Our culture is shallow.
I mean, it is, right? I mean, one of the greatest names in history right now is William Shakespeare. The dude fucking wrote plays. Like, it's literally like if we exonerated Steven Spielberg as like the great genius of something, like, you know, 200 years
cinema
from now.
I say he's a great genius of cinema
of kino. But as I'm saying, like, what is that? So he's a great genius of cinema. That's fucking pop culture. So it's culture.
I mean, I would disagree in that I think that there is a difference between cultural art and like pop culture. Yeah, there's a big difference, I think. And it's not a lot to get into. It's a lot to get into right now with dissecting, you know, what is art and, you know, what is pop. What's the definition of pop culture?
I think
in terms of like 60s Andy Warhol, like what he was talking about when he kind of coined those phrases. So you're not 100% wrong, but there's a difference.
I think the only difference between like the Mona Lisa and a Banksy shitpost is there's a lot of time between the two. I think culturally wise, the Mona Lisa was pop culture of its time or whatever.
Well, the Mona Lisa is actually kind of pop culture, because Mona Lisa wasn't even famous until it got stolen, and once it got stolen, then it became more famous than it actually was.
Okay, well, pick something relevant that was popular back then. It's the same thing.
I mean, it's all just like a thing. It's all just like there's the story behind it and what makes it famous, and like that's what makes the pop culture. I don't want to get into it. It's too much. It's much.
Memes, the DNA of the soul.
All right, Dawkins. God, I remember having to explain what a meme was back in like 2006.
See, now everyone knows.
What a time. You know what's not a meme, Steve?
What?
Milhouse.
Milhouse?
Milhouse is not a meme.
Man, that's fucking, wow, that's ancient. that's ancient esoteric knowledge.
Don't quote the deep lore to me, Steve. I was there when it was written.
it's like when I try to get people, I've never gotten, in like the last 6 years, I've never gotten a successful reply to itty bitty baby, itty bitty boat.
Oh, God.
Tweaky house.
Tweaky house. Yes. I was like, I can't think of what it is. All right. I wanted to go over just a couple more of the rumors that are on here. Now, don't take any of this as legit. As Steve and I are saying, this sounds like just like really, really good intuition and guessing.
Yes.
New Warcry box sets coming up for third edition. It says it's supposed to be even closer to Mordheim. And it's going to be Cities of Sigmar and Skaven. Not a terrible guess. However, I also heard it was Cities of Sigmar and Skaven for the new third edition box. So that was like a rumor before they announced the Stormcast. So, I mean, it could, that could be the origin of that rumor that I heard. The old world is underperforming against projections, but not massively, mostly attributed to a lack of big villain draw when Tomb Kings don't seem to be considered a villain in the grand scheme of things. I don't honestly think that people want to treat like I don't think people care about a villain when it comes to that. I just think that it's underselling because it only has two armies out and the third army just got dropped. And I've said it on this podcast before. Bretonians are not a friendly army to start a game with. They are an advanced army, both in painting, assembly, and playing. They're also, not a, yeah.
Also, a ton of the shit sold out at launch. What the fuck were they expecting?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. This doesn't seem like it's that smart. The first major event reintroducing more armies from the Legend stable is expected to pick up the slack. Skaven and Chaos, with notable Chaos release in 2024, and Vampire Counts are going to come back in 2025 is what they say. Because Soulblight, Gravelords, and Forth will be leaning further away from the original Vampire Counts aesthetic to differentiate the two lines. Expect a new Neferata model.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they already look very, very different. So that's good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm wondering. Like, are these like older rumors that are just got reposted recently?
Maybe.
Because some of the information that's in here is, I think, out of date, like older. Yeah. One thing, Warhammer Underworlds is ending production this year. There is one final box planned after Wintermaw, along with limited time reprint boxes and most popular warbands of the past coming in quarterly waves as a last hurrah.
Now, basically, that makes total sense.
Yes. They say that the cardboard is more expensive than the plastic terrain you get in Warcry, so they're going to discontinue it. Like, look, I get it. I think Underworlds lasted about, what, 3 years longer than it should have?
I cannot believe how long Underworlds lasted.
It came out in 2019, I believe.
Like, talk about having legs, man.
Yeah, that game has stood the test of time.
Yeah, if the only thing that could have kept that game going, like, perpetually would have been if the Steam game didn't happen the way it happened.
It could be, yeah.
Because that would have been. Because I mean, well, you remember how many new 40? Can you even begin?
No,
to,
I
guess.
Video games are the best gateway to the
Dawn of War. Specifically, how many 40K players were born out of Dawn of War?
Yeah, they left their rooms filled with pee bottles and were like, they're like, I could play with other people. And then they're like, we could surround ourselves with with all of our pee bottles.
We can exchange pee bottles.
Oh, the yellow gold. Legion Imperialis has massively underperformed. The blame is based on people expecting epic and not wanting pure horse heresy on a smaller scale. Others blame the launch window. Expect support for another year or two, but like Aeronautica, this game won't be around very long. I'm going to say the launch window is probably the biggest problem. You released the game long after everybody was salivating for it and then dropped Old World literally a month later.
Yeah, they're running into the same problem. And this is that Wattsification thing that he mentioned is kind of funny, but they're running into the same problem that Wizards was running into, and still we'll see what happens with this year, but may run into again. But it would be like a new set would be coming on the horizon. Like, this set is coming in like a month and a half. And people are like, oh, hell yeah, we got to get the set. And then they announce the bigger, dicker version of the set. And then people are like, oh, that set that's coming in like a month? Fuck that set. I don't care. I don't give a shit about that set. The set that's coming in 3 months is the big dick set. We got to get that one. Like, yeah. It would immediately eclipse what was just about to come out with something else that's not even out yet.
Exactly. Necromunda and Horus Heresy both sell very well and turn a profit and will be the most stable games for the foreseeable future. Totally understand that. I get it.
Games.
I love Horus Heresy. I think Necromunda is a really, really solid game. Necromunda has its problems in the amount of stuff you need to have for it. It's very, very book heavy, but it's still a really fun, solid game. Mm-hmm. Horus Heresy, I absolutely adore. And I adore it because it's a mess of a game. I enjoy all the messiness of it. If anybody's read the rules for the old world, did not read Horus Heresy, it's very similar in its messiness of the rules. But I like that slop. It's like I like rolling in it. As an older player, I like that.
Nice.
But that's also why I like Warcry, because I think Warcry's rules are super slim and fun.
I do look forward to playing some old world games in the old basement with some people, and absolutely misremembering new rules and just playing old sixth edition rules.
Oh, happens constantly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's gonna happen.
Okay, yeah, that's just stuff about, like, you know, dispossessed and stuff for AOS. No one gives a shit about it. Death Guard, Adeptus Mechanicus, Gene Stealer Cults, Adeptus Astartes are all losing a few as units. Harlequins are gone completely, and Grey Knights are becoming a universal ally option for Imperial forces. I mean, who cares about that? They need to trim out a lot of the Space Marine stuff again.
I don't know nothing about no 40K.
So here's one that I thought was interesting. With the rise of alternate hobby products such as paints and tools, the range of Citadel paints is being reduced. If something has an option where a contrast paint can fill the role, expect the base layer of said color to go away. Primers are also being cut down to Grey Seer, Chaos Black, Mechanicus Standard Grey, Iron Warriors, Xandri Dust, and Death Guard Green. So that I thought was interesting. The paint line does need to be cut back a little bit. I think there's an over-reliance on contrast. There doesn't need to be that many contrast paints. I like them, but there doesn't need to be as many as there is.
I mean, I really like them. I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of contrast. I don't know. I like having a ton of them. I would rather see some of the other paints go before I see any of the contrasts go.
I agree with you. I think that the bigger problem with Games Workshop is they stay away from the triad system, which what Reaper does. And I absolutely adore Reaper's system because it's just like base, you know, layer, highlight. And it's but the thing is that Games Workshop has that. They just make it really, really hard to figure out. Like, they need to what I like is 1, 2, 3. That's what Reaper does, and that's what I enjoy. Reaper paints aren't always the best, and I like Games Workshop paints better, but man, they need to figure that out. Like
the new army painter formula, paint, all coming in triads as well. They're shifting to the triads too. So
you don't try and talk about army painter on this podcast. Army painter is shit. We've all know it. We all talked about it.
Hey,
we've gone over this before. Army painter is shit paint.
The Fanatic 2.0, baby. It's gonna be good.
I know. I'm still obsessed with Vallejo game color. That shit's so good.
I don't know.
I injected directly into my veins.
Our army painter's fine. all the paints are fine. That's the thing that's funny. Is like at the end of the day, literally all this paint. Shit is fucking fine.
It's just whatever you feel comfortable with.
The only thing that's not fine are the weird ones that are not meant for fucking miniatures. Stop doing that.
I mean, like the stuff that comes in like the tubes that you gotta like squeeze out. You know, fuck those paints, the model masters or whatever those.
Yeah, stop doing that. Stop doing that stuff.
Stop. Who you think you are?
Don't use oil paints on your toys either.
Yeah. Well, look at fucking George Surratt over here painting his fucking figures on a fucking palette with
Mercedes Benz over here.
Yeah. Whoa, there, Leonardo da Vinci. Why don't you save a little bit of the tail for the rest of us? All right.
Slow it down there, fella.
Slow it down there, Renoir.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
You see, you go to the Games Workshop store and you see the guy pull out his wet palette and his brushes and all of his specialized paint. Or I should just say hobby store, not Games Workshop, because they wouldn't allow the Model Masters paints. So he goes to the hobby store, he puts out his wet palette. He gets out his like special Kalinske Sable brushes. He gets like his like $100 watercolor brushes. He gets out his specialized inks and all this stuff. And it's like, and then he paints his model and it looks like absolute shit.
That's Kino, what you just said.
It's the absolute truth.
Another thing I was just thinking about while you were listing off all the like all that goofy shit, I have decided I've got a new way I'm going to suggest that painting competitions be judged, and you're gonna love it.
What's that?
Your model will be handled. Your miniature will be touched. They will touch parts of your actual model. They will not only touch the base. They will not express care. They will touch your miniature. They will put their fingers on parts of your model. That's what's happening now.
They will lick it And maybe have genital touch, genital yes. contact.
Just 3 seconds.
Yes, just 3 seconds genital contact, and we'll see if anything comes off. No, yeah. Actually, most people with oils will seal it and do very well with it. But it's just, it's so much extra work.
Okay, well, as long as you know, that's the thing for me is like I don't think anyone should be painting their miniatures in a way that the model can't be handled. If you can handle it, like then by all means do whatever the fuck you want. I thought oil paints were notorious for like just like sloughing off the fucking model if you held.
Well,
it.
Well, they generally are because most people are not professional painters and do not seal their shit properly.
Very good.
But if you do like 2 seconds of research, you could figure it out there, Degas.
I don't know why we keep going into the Chicago talk, but I like it.
I just want to scream at these people. Like, whoa, look at you there, Mr. Leonardo.
Hey,
painting with your Kolinsky sable brushes. I use Kolinsky sable brushes, by the way, but I just, you know, whatever. But like, yeah, it's just like with your wet palette. Oh, look at you wet blending on your figure. Oh, your figure looks like shit. Yeah, great. Good job with your wet blending.
Look at you, fancy pants.
You know, I never use wet blending. You know how many armies I have painted? 1,000.
I mean, again, like this thing, like there's army painting techniques and then there's competition painting techniques. They rarely cross.
Very rarely cross. Or see the guy wearing the night trial gloves while they're painting.
Or they do cross and you have now, as of yesterday, completed your ninth age army that you started when ninth age was first launched.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That person just seems swinging from a rope.
No, they're looking. Yes. Because the army's not in the old world.
There you go. Just swinging.
Perfect.
Jesus Christ. Oh man. Yeah, they have the blue nitrile gloves on while they're painting too. And it's like, you get these gloves on, but you literally just handled a meatball sandwich 2 seconds ago while wearing the gloves. And now you're painting your figures with those gloves on. What do you think is going to happen? You literally got marinara on your tomb guard.
Marinara guard.
And they also had some bonus gossip on this, which is no chaos dwarves are happening. They look too anti-Semitic for it to happen. GW has a problem as it is seen as the Nazi company and won't touch them again, at least not in the original sense. That's total bullshit.
Yeah, that's total bullshit. They've changed the Chaos Dwarf aesthetic a fucking million years ago.
Yeah, and it looks like and they have them in the Total War.
Yeah, and they're also available to buy right fucking now from Forge World, I think.
Yeah. This is the best one I liked because I was like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. Kislev was scrapped because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. They are already in GW's Book of Grudges from the recast fiefdoms. But the timing just felt in poor taste, but they aren't scrapped forever. Just shelved. Will that die down? This is what they wrote. I'm sorry if it sounds like I don't know how
that was
talk.
Bad.
Cathay, however, was never really happening. Araby might be. Oh yes. So the Chaos Dwarves are too anti-Semitic, but the Araby army is going to be okay. Sure. They did say that the old world sold a lot of Tomb King models, but very few Bretonians by comparison. Just a bit of trivia there. And that makes sense, because guess what's an easy army to paint? Tomb Kings. Guess what's a hard army to paint? Bretonians.
Yeah, shocker. Also, people have there's more of a boner for the Tomb Kings.
Yes.
mostly because of Total War. Like, Tomb Kings got really, really popular when Total War 2 happened. Because they were like the banner army of that game.
This is one that I actually think is probably true. A lot of the old guard dinosaurs are not really happy with people like Peachy and Suggs giving insider secrets and getting people on social media to demand artist credit on paint jobs. I know that for a fact that Games Workshop hates saying who sculpted the figures, who painted figures, and giving like any sort of artist credit whatsoever. It's a big problem, I think, with that company, and it's something that needs to change, because I think that they do need more artist support, because guess what sells the fucking figures? The paint jobs, the artwork, all of that stuff.
The sculpts.
Sells the figures. Yeah,
the sculpts.
And like, because I said it before, about Mantic and stuff like that, or maybe not Mantic because they've gotten better. But if you want to sell your figures, you have to get good professional artists to paint them.
Yes.
If you get like just some in-house guy painting your figures, you're never going to sell them because they're going to look like ass.
Yeah. Oh, the difference between newer, like, I don't know if you saw any of the Halo figures that they showed off, or the one of the newest Kings of War armies. Like, they actually have like quite proficient in-house painters now, which is really good. I'm really happy to see that Adamantic.
Yeah. Apparently White Dwarf is going to be canceled after issue 500. It's been almost canceled twice. They say it's too much overlap with what's on the internet nowadays. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do think White Dwarf has been really bad lately. It's just like a lot of 40K stuff in there, which is totally makes sense. 40K is the bread and butter, but I don't necessarily, it's like, just like, it's overload on 40K.
I'm gonna tell you what, I mean, I got a few recent White Dwarves, somewhat recently. And in my opinion, the White Dwarf, if it's not doing well, it's because the content fucking sucks. It's not because the content is comparable online. It's because the content fucking sucks. Because the difference between an old White Dwarf, shit. I open an old White Dwarf and there's like a 40K mini game to play with your figures. There's a fucking fantasy mini game to play with your figures. There's the update to like the big campaign that's been going on for the fucking past, like, you know, 8 issues. There's always so much shit. There was always so much shit in the White Dwarves that was like content, like good stuff in there. There was like, you know, terrain making guides, things like that. When I looked at the most recent White Dwarves, they like kind of were like that, but not really. Like, it was mostly like photo galleries.
You know what really sucks about White Dwarf now, and I'll point it down exactly what it is that you don't get enough of people's own personal stuff. You do get some, but it's not enough. And I think that was like a big draw with White Dwarf back in the day, was that you would see like people's own armies and things like that. You get some of that, but it's not as much as it used to be. It's also, as you say, boring. A lot of boring stuff in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, because the goal of the magazine shifted to just sell figures instead of selling you the hobby. That's the problem. They decided that the magazine should sell you the figures, not the hobby, which is the stupidest move you could make for a magazine that's supposed to sell you the hobby. But to do that, like, because it's all about selling figures, they don't have stuff like, hey, here's how to make a cool fucking Sphinx for your old world Tomb Kings out of foam. They don't have that.
Out of balsa wood and pink foam.
Sure. That's gone. What they have now is they have a battle report with a bunch of close-up shots of the re-released Tomb King models. Like, that's what you get. You don't get any hobby content. You get selling
battle report, though. I'll tell you that. I read that one.
You get selling content. So that's the difference. Like, that's what it is. So.
Yeah, it's true. Like, sell you on the hobby. And this is the last thing I'm going to talk about, is that a lot of stores saw that the change from Games Workshop to Warhammer Shop, seeing a shocking decline in regular attendance. At first, this was waved away as a COVID, as many things were, by the wrong people in the jobs that they are still shit at. But there have been more store closures in the last 5 years than the 20 before it. People would rather shop online than go to a third-party store with more tables and amenities. Yeah, I think there's a big problem with that. And I think it goes down to a lot of things in that there's a lot of reasons for it. One, the stores are tiny. The stores have always been kind of tiny, but the stores now are smaller. And it's a lot harsher on like what you can do in those stores.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I played for when I was grinding Shadespire and getting all the trophies. I played in several Games Workshop stores because that's where all the events were. And holy shit, some of the fucking areas were tight. And we're talking gamers in a very tight and closed space. It's not good for movement, not good for smelling.
Yeah, and you know, and Games Workshop is, well, you and I both know this, we worked for the company for many years. It's not the best company in the world to work for, so it's really hard to maintain a shop culture over time when you constantly are switching managers because they're getting fired.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was, I think after the one shift, it ended up not being that, the turnover rate didn't go that crazy. I might be wrong, but I mean, this, because I mean, I saw the same managers at the stores for the time when I was going there actively, so.
I've actually heard that the Midwest region has been pretty good lately with a lot of its employees. I do know it's weird, like when you know some of the higher ups and when they were hired as red shirts. But anyway, so yeah, that's basically a lot of the Games Workshop scuttlebutt that's been going on. And I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, so there's a good chunk of that that sounds very legit. And then some of that sounds very, very, very not legit.
Yeah, so it's that's why I say take it as you will. I just thought it was good talking point for the cast.
Oh, yeah, it was good yapping.
Yeah, it's content. We need content.
Yeah, we yapped.
Otherwise, we're going to do another tier list. I mean, which people, we're going to do. I don't think we're going to do that today.
People love tier lists. No,
they
we're not going to
love tier lists.
I don't even have the list of the games. You got to furnish me with the list.
I was going to say, like, I wanted to go over that with you. So here's the question. So I want to rank specialist games, and that's not necessarily specialist, because specialist was only a term that was used for like 20 years, like in 1990 to 2010.
Maybe
right?
Shift and just say standalone.
But I don't necessarily want to say standalone, because I don't want to include the Quest games like Warhammer Quest.
I would be so bold as to say that Warhammer Quest is a mix of not standalone and then standalone.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Because the earliest Warhammer Quests were board games.
Yeah. So, but I mean, even the new ones are board games.
And, I mean, we can always just omit Warhammer. We can always just specifically say we're omitting Warhammer Quest, really.
I mean, yeah, because if you look like, okay, so these are the games that I have, and you could tell me if you want to include them or not include them. All right.
Okay.
So let me put up the original Adeptus Titanicus game, which was the first box set released, two player game box set released for Games Workshop in 1988.
Include.
Okay. Blood Bowl, second edition.
Include.
Advanced Hero Quest.
No.
Okay, so we're gonna take that off. Where's my strike through? But there it is. Okay. Hero Quest.
Yes.
So we're not including Advanced Hero Quest, but we're including Hero Quest.
Yes, I believe that specifically should be included.
Okay. Space Hulk.
Yes.
Okay. This is the original, so I'm assuming that we'll include the other editions of Space Hulk as well.
Yes.
Okay. Space Marine, the first edition of Epic.
I gotta say, yeah.
Okay. Advanced Space Crusade.
No, but okay. Yes to regular Space Crusade.
Well, there is no regular Space Crusade. I think it was only Advanced Space Crusade.
No, there was absolutely regular Space Crusade.
I will have to look into that. So then
I remember the cover had because the cover of Advanced Space Crusade had blue guys and regular Space Crusade had white guys.
Yeah. OK, well, yeah. I'll double check on that one. So then we got second edition Space Marine Battlemasters.
No, Battlemasters is a board game.
OK, Manowar, of course.
Yes, of course, Manowar.
OK,
yes.
So where this gets to do a lot of the ones that are like, of course, included Blood Bowl, third edition, Necromunda, first edition, Warhammer Quest. This was 1995.
No.
No. OK. Epic 40K, second edition. Yes. Gorka Morka. Yes. Battlefleet Gothic. Yes. Mordheim. Yes. Battle of Five Armies.
No.
Ooh. Space Hulk, third, fourth, yes. Dreadfleet.
No.
No Dreadfleet.
No Dreadfleet.
Oh. Blood Bowl fourth edition. Warhammer Quest Silver Tower.
Yes, on that one.
Necromunda, yes. Warhammer Quest Hammerhall.
Yes.
Okay. Warhammer Underworlds. That's yes. Shadespire.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
The Titanicus Grandmaster Box.
Yes.
Okay. Warhammer Quest Blackstone Fortress.
Yes, that's an Age of Sigmar one, right?
No, Blackstone Fortress was the 40K one.
Oh, then yes, definitely.
Aeronautica Imperialis.
No.
No Aeronautica.
It was Forge World.
Yeah, but it was under Specials Games, which Forge World was in control of at that time.
Was there a non Forge World base game released? Like, was there a box set?
Yeah, there was a box set.
Oh, then I'll say yes.
Okay, yeah. I would say yes. Warcry first edition. Warhammer Quest Cursed City.
Cursed City's a weird one. I'm gonna say yes on Cursed City.
Okay. Legions Imperialis.
Yes.
Okay. And then I forgot Warcry Second Edition, Heart of Gur.
Yes.
So yes, that would be included on there. So that's kind of our list of what we got there. I'll have to look up the Space Crusade. But I feel like I'm missing something or other. I just don't know what I'm missing.
I found it. I found the two covers, and there is a difference. There is Space Crusade and Advanced Space Crusade.
Did you hear anything that I forgot? If you guys have listened to this podcast, let us know. And
yeah, hit us up on the Discord.
Yeah. Out of anything that I said on there, and then I'll pop it on there. You know, if it's something that we agree we should include in our tier list. That was just kind of like in my research of it. And I'll tell you, finding the prices of anything pre-1999 on the internet is near impossible.
It's hard.
I actually found the price of Battlefleet Gothic because someone on a message board that was archived from like 2001 had written a review of it. And I was like, this is insane reading this. It's like masturbating through a time machine.
That's awesome.
It was pretty amazing on that. The only other thing that I really wanted to talk about today was I wanted to give my Tomb Kings proxy, my Tomb Kings proxy recommendations.
Oh yes. Yes, please do.
For STLs.
While you do that, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to ooh and ah, and please listeners join me in the ooing and the eyeing.
So the first one is I wanted to, and this was one that literally just came up. Is Archvillain Games. Oh, no, sorry. This is the one that just came up. We'll talk about that one later. But Archvillain Games, which is a company that I like, they do a lot of the, what is it called? Like Dark Souls. What's that called? Grimdark or Soul? What's that style called?
Soulsborne? Just Dark Fantasy.
Yeah, like they do Dark Fantasy stuff. They have a range called Empire of Sands. It's not a perfect one for one in anything, but I really like the sculpts on there. And I would definitely take a look at it for just some cool figures for your Tomb Kings army. Definitely not a replacement for all of the troops. Okay. Titan Forge, which is one of my go-to favorites. They have some of the best models out there. They literally just dropped their Tomb Kings proxies. And they are cool looking. They're cool as shit looking.
I gotta check this out. This is because it's obviously one that I haven't seen because I looked at a lot while I was grabbing the old Etsy minis.
The old Etsy minis.
Yes, which are nice.
So these just dropped this or last month, I should say. Here, let's see if I can. It's called Undying Dynasties. Here, I'm going to send you a picture of it.
Undying Dynasties.
Yes. And I really like the way that the stuff looks. It's very stylized. It's very, very much like a Titan Forge style. Here, I just sent it to you.
Oh, Sicko Mode. They're very cool.
But I love a lot of the stuff that they have there. Really recommend it. Like, I really love the chariots. I don't know why, but I really do. I know that they would never mummify the horses with the wrappings, like in actual ancient Egypt, but I just like the idea of mummy horses.
No, that's good. I like their Ushabti a lot.
Yes, I like their Ushabti quite a bit as well.
I'll probably end up grabbing the Ushabti. I might actually use their infantry might be perfect for Tomb Guard, actually.
Yeah. The next up really I have is the Highland Miniatures Eternal Dynasties, which we've talked about before.
That's the one I went with, and I went with them because I felt that they were really close to the GW aesthetic.
Yeah, I think that I would like to see Highland do more, and then I would give my recommendation on them in terms of like I want to see their Ushabti, I want to see their Bone Giant, I want to see like that stuff. Before I give my recommendation, but I would say just for infantry in terms of painting and printing, they're probably the winners. Like, I'm just gonna let you guys know that.
Yeah, they're real good. I have them. I have the prints. They're great. I have them at 28 millimeter as well, and I think they're phenomenal 28 millimeter sculpts. I recommend that. Like, if you're gonna do them, I recommend that. I recommend you copy what I'm doing, which is I'm going to use them for my bulk troops, and I'm going to use Titan Forge for my special stuff because their fucking Casket of Souls they have is bad fucking ass.
So the next one I have is One that I didn't talk about before in the last time is Dragon's Lake Miniatures, or Dragon's Lake Miniaturas, which is a company that does a lot. They're a Spanish company, of course, but they do a lot of proxy for Ninth Age and the Old World. Their range is called the Undying Dynasties. I think it is a very, very good proxy for a lot of the Tomb King stuff. They have Bowmen, they have Tomb Guard, they have a Casket of Souls, they have Cavalry, they have Upshapti. They have almost everything that you need, including the Pharaoh on Bone Dragon.
Yeah, the Bone Dragon is fucking badass. That Bone Dragon is dope as fuck.
Yeah, I like their stuff. I do think that they I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it's going to be the best proxy in the world. Like, if you want it to blend in with a lot of your GW stuff, which is always kind of my go-to point is like, does this blend in with my GW stuff?
I believe the corpo term for that is pain point.
Yes. Okay. My pain point. Yes. Is like, does this blend? But I mean, their stuff looks really good.
My judgment is on that is always, do they have a complete range? Yeah. Because if they have a complete range, I am much more forgiving about them having a very unique style. But if they just have like one really badass looking unit, it's just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yes. So they don't have the full range yet. But they are very good at filling out the ranges. And so I would say that is probably coming in the future. So it's just something to look at. If you're looking at something like that.
Yeah.
Next one.
I also really like their Tomb Scorpion as well.
Yes, their Tomb Scorpions are great. The next one I have is actually a favorite of mine. It is Ghamak, Ghamak. Their new one just came out. I'm going to send it to you right now. It is the
Ghamak.
The Undead Pharaohs is what it's called. There's just some fun stuff in that range. I really like the chariots.
Oh, they're chunky.
Yeah, they're really fun looking. I like his stuff. I think it's got some, and I think the cast, the Receptacle of Souls, as it's called. Not a Casket of Souls, the Receptacle of Skulls being carried on the backs of two giant alligators, I think is fantastic.
That is pretty fire. He has a really good, World of Warcraft aesthetic.
Yes, he does. He does really good fantasy stuff and really good sci-fi stuff. He does kind of a range of both. They're not very good blending in with Games Workshop stuff, but I think that they kind of stand on their own and they're really fun. He does have the guys riding the snakes, which I think is really good. And I think that they look really cool. A lot of these guys that I'm going to talk about, if they do have those figures, what are those called? Siskemet Riders or something? I don't know. Snake Riders. I don't remember what they're called. But these companies, they'll do them and they won't look fun. Like, these look fun. I think these look really cool. They have
I didn't find the riders. I found the scorpions, which also look fun.
They have the Necropolis Guard are the big snake guys with the two-handed weapons. I think everything in that army range looks great. It's just it's very stylized and unique, so it's not quite what you're used to. Next one I have is an older one. This one has been around for a long time in terms of 3D printing. It is a company called Txarli Miniatures, TXARLI. And they have a range that is, what's it called? I don't have the range name, of course not. But let me pull it up really quick.
Oh, I see. I'm looking at them now. I found them. So okay. It doesn't look like they have a name for the range. I just see that everything's like, Armies of the Sands.
Armies of the Sands. Okay. So I think their stuff looks really great. I really, really, really like their chariots. I think their chariots are probably the best ones I've seen.
Is that the one you printed though? And like they were too thin and they snapped apart?
No, we're going to go into that one.
Okay.
I think these ones have a very GW aesthetic, but are also chunkier enough that they won't fall apart. Even the GW ones are super thin.
Those chariots are pretty cool.
Yeah. But their stuff looks really great. They have Sand Scorpions. They got Upshapti. They have everything. The Upshapti don't look perfect. I don't necessarily like their Bone Giant. he's kind of got this big like pharaoh thing around his head, but it actually just kind of ends up looking like hair, which kind of bothers me. But it is a really cool looking bone giant. I just think it needs a better head. Epic, a shout out to two ranges that I have. One is Epic Miniatures, who's numbered their newest set, number 96, is called Bone Dry Desert. And it's really good Egyptian terrain. They have a couple minis in there, but they're not great, but their terrain is great. Same thing with Ian Lovecraft. And I'll send you this one. He did a whole collection called Desert Adventures, which is got some fantastic terrain for Tomb Kings. If you wanted to do Tomb Kings, here, I'll just send that one to you.
Yes, please.
But it's just really, really cool looking stuff. And it's got like not only Egyptian, but Babylonian, Assyrian kind of vibes to it.
Desert Adventures, indeed. They even have a badass worm rider.
The worm rider.
That's cool. That's some cool ass terrain. I like that.
Yeah. It's even got the skull with the pharaoh's head, like the cover of the Megadeth album.
Yeah, very cool.
So let's see. Then getting back to some minis, I got Sir Nicholas Miniatures. This is probably one of the worst ones. But I included it because it's completed, and I really like the name Sir Nicholas Miniatures.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Their models aren't really that great. But I wanted to include it just because it's got a lot of stuff. It's more realistic proportions, I guess. And, you know, so that might make some people might like that. I don't know. It's not me, but.
I do like the iron warbands look pretty cool. I think these are like a chaos stand-in, looks like. They're pretty cool. They're just like head-to-toe dudes in fucking full-ass plate mail armor.
Yes. So the ones that are really thin are Lost Kingdom miniatures.
Okay.
They're Undying Dynasties. I did this back when I first got these files, probably back when I first got a 3D printer, you know, 2019. But their stuff looks so cool, but God, is it thin?
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, but the stuff is so good looking. It's so good looking. They have undead elephants and camels and like boats with mummies on them, and their bone colossus is amazing.
That's pretty badass.
I love every set. Like their Screaming Skull catapult is a giant beetle. It's like you can't argue with how cool it looks, but the minis don't really hold up that well to being touched. He may have upgraded them in a lot of ways, but I don't know. I haven't touched the files in a long time, but they just look really cool. So if you're interested in a full army of really, really unique looking minis and you don't feel like you're going to break everything, this might be the army for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one more, which is the where did I put it? Oh no, I lost it. Here we go. No, wait, that's not it. There we go. Okay. I have two more. Sorry. I have One Page Rules has been around for a long time. People really, really like the stuff. They have three full sets of their figures. And their stuff is super good. It's super lasting. It does not, you know, it's thick enough that it's not going to break on, you know, on contact. But they do like the mummified undead. They have three army bundles. All of their stuff looks fantastic. I don't think it's really going to be great for the old world because I don't think it's going to a lot of their figures rank well.
They do not look like they're going to rank at all. Even with the bigger bases, it looks like they might be a challenge.
Yeah. But I love the figures. I think they look super cool.
They've got a very Army of Darkness Deadite vibe to them.
Swallow your soul.
They do.
I completely agree. I think it's really cool. I highly recommend it. I really love their Bone Giant. I like just the aesthetic of everything with the army. And then the last one, which just got dropped, is the Raging Heroes, Heroes Infinite. So Heroes Infinite is like Raging Heroes. They do a lot of the 3D proxy and a lot of the proxy models that were you know, GW, they had GW stuff that was out years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. It was super expensive. So it would be like cheesecake girl figures of like dress as a witch hunter. But they have a Patreon where they sell their 3D sculpts, and they just released one called Arthur's Crusade to the Necropolis Sands. So it is essentially Bretonians versus the Tomb Keep.
Yeah, I see that.
And they don't have the full range, but their stuff looks so good. They do have like a bunch of Bretonian stuff too, which I did not have on the last cast. And I would say that these knights on foot are some of the best ones that I've seen for a lot of armies putting out. Super stylized, beautiful. They have a giant trebuchet in this one for the Bretonians. And they also have a...
Their Tomb Kings ones are... They're insane looking.
Yeah. They have a bone giant, which is awesome looking. Karzul, the necromantic colossus. And they have like a bunch of like... modular scenery as well.
Yeah, and there's a shit ton of snake. The snake aesthetic is very strong with this thing.
I really like it. I think Raging Heroes does really, really cool sculpts. They're very, very unique to their own. So it sometimes does not blend at all. But those are just some of the Tomb Kings STL like equivalent proxies that you can use if you don't necessarily want to go the GW route and use models that are 30 years old at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going to do all my since I don't go to tournaments and I'm not going to go to a public place, like I'm just doing all my old world stuff in 28mm. I'm just going to do whatever I want. So you don't need to be buying fucking 30-year-old Tomb King models. There's so many good options for you.
Yeah, as long as the bases are the right size, I don't really care. Definitely. And I can tell what you have.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't include a lot of things that have proxies because some of the undead stuff is like they've done Tomb King's undead, but they'll do it with like a samurai aesthetic or a Chinese aesthetic. And I'm like, it's not what we're looking for. We're looking for Tomb Kings.
Right, so exactly.
We're going to do that instead. So there's my list. I don't know. You could take what you want out of that. I don't really have a strong winner, mainly because the one that's in the lead right now, Highlands Miniatures, doesn't have a full range yet.
Yeah, that's the biggest drawback for Highlands is they've only got cav, infantry, and chariots. So there's no characters, no monsters, no big stuff.
I would say if you're doing characters, like there's so many cool characters out there for different ranges. You could just find.
Yeah, I guess characters probably just matters the least of all those things.
Yeah. And I would say like actually my actual winner right now is Dragon's Lake Mini Toras because they're from Spain. but I don't necessarily want to say that they're my true winners because I don't necessarily like all their sculpts. They just have a very solid range that looks a lot like GW stuff.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do appreciate the titty mummies from the Raging Heroes.
Yeah, that's true. Raging Heroes loves the cheesecake with their stuff.
Yeah. The Neferata stand in. She's got some honking, donking, badonkers.
They are undead. Wasn't there a Felix and Gotrek story where Neferata like seduces Felix?
I don't recall. That's possible, but I don't recall it.
Go to our Discord if you remember the Felix and Gotrek novel where Neferata seduces Felix, because I can't remember what it is, but yes. I think it does exist.
Yes.
You
know what's funny? That Karzul the Necromantic Colossus thing.
Yeah.
It literally looks like an... All right, this is a fucking crazy... Crazy. If anyone ever played against me like a long time ago and you played against my 3K list where I used three bone giants, I had a third bone giant that was not a miniature. It was a fucking Todd McFarlane skeleton action figure that I threw some extra Tomb King bits on. I shit you not. That's what my guy kind of looked like. That is most Todd McFarlane gate like miniature I've ever seen.
It is very Todd McFarlane-esque. What's the matter? You don't like Karzul the Necromantic Colossus?
No, I like Karzul the Necromantic Colossus. I think he's Kar's cool.
Kar's cool. And he has little vultures on his shoulder.
He does.
Yeah. I do think it's over. I think that his armor is over stylized. I would like more. I like one of the things I like about the Bone Giant is it's just a Bone Giant with a little bit of Tomb King stuff all over him. I think that's a little overdone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would definitely check out all the stuff that I listed on there. If you guys know of any that I've maybe missed or forgot, just you throw them up on the Discord. I greatly appreciate it. I think everybody who's like at this point tired of paying GW prices for a lot of things for 30-year-old models appreciate 3D printing as a alternative.
Yeah. And you know what? I would have bought the new shit, except there were none of the shit I tried to buy was in stock. Couldn't buy anything.
Yeah. There
like,
you go.
I was going to buy the new models from Games Workshop and nothing. So there you go. And it ended up saving me in the end because I foolishly thought that all of the new stuff was plastic. It's not.
No, not all the new stuff is plastic.
Yes, but
some of it is in resin.
Yep, but it don't matter because I ended up not getting it. So, yep, I'm just buying it all from Etsy.
Well, and that's kind of what I heard, like with the getting rid of the resin, too. That makes sense that they would put out a bunch of the old figures that were in resin just to get rid of it. Like just pump and dump it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So do we have any other gaming stuff that we need to talk about? I know you said there's a new Magic release, but
new Magic release looks really dope. The theme is fucking awesome. It's called Outlaws at Thunder Junction.
Yes, Centaurs.
It's a fucking Wild West Magic set.
Wild Wild West?
Yes.
Jim
so
West.
Like yeah, it's fucking dope as shit. It's just fucking centaurs with revolvers, bro.
Fucking centaurs with revolvers.
You can be the cow and the boy.
You could be the cow. Ooh. I'm gonna be a cowgirl.
I mean, yeah, sure. As long as you're an outlaw.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks great. They did some really cool wanted posters for a bunch of the legendaries, which looked dope. It's funny because I'm not gonna lie. When I first heard it, I was like, "That's the fucking dumbest idea for a Magic set I've ever heard in my fucking life." Cowboys, I was like, "That's so fucking stupid." I was like beside myself with how much I despise the idea. And then like as I started seeing more stuff, I was like, "I see the vision. I see the vision." And it seems like everyone else sees the vision because there's so much hype behind the set.
Hype.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Right. All right. So, anything else?
That's it for me, partner.
Yeah. That's all I pretty much think I got. You could go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way to find a link to the Game Classy Discord. Oh, by the way, since we are recording this on Tuesday and it's going to drop on Sunday, there's a 99% chance that something huge could happen. We miss it. Sorry if it does, we're not going to cover it.
Yes. The really big news. We're not covering it.
No, so like if Jervis Johnson dies and comes back 3 days later, we won't know.
We won't know. Sorry. Yeah. Well, we'll know, but we won't talk about it on the podcast.
We won't be talking about it on the cast. Everyone's going to be like, "What? Yeah. How come we're not talking about Jervis Johnson coming back?"
You're not talking about Jervis Johnson personally nutting in every single starter set of the new edition.
Ooh, consider it sold. Did you go outside and watch the eclipse? By the way,
I did look at the eclipse.
Did you bring your retinas?
I think it was fine. I looked really quick, my eyes just kind of hurt, and like I see kind of like spots. But other than that, I'm good.
I went out there, and you know, I have the glasses, like the special glasses, and I'm watching it. I'm not like staring at it, but I'm like getting good quick glances. But man, I had a massive headache when I was over with it. Like over the course of like an hour of observation. So I'm luckily I'm not blind. So there we go. The best way you can help out this podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes, which is where we put up a bunch of our stuff for some odd reason. I know we do get some people saying stuff on the YouTube.
Hey man, there's traffic on that YouTube.
I know.
You just got to start doing shorts, podcast shorts. Get us boosting in the algo.
Yeah, well, should we get like you and I sitting on a couch with those big microphones talking about what it is to be an alpha male?
We could just broadcast a video chat even better, and then we can also have an additional screen going that has, what is it, Sewer Surfers, I believe.
Sewer Surfers, okay.
Yeah, Sewer Surfers on there, and then in a smaller corner, Skibbity Toilet.
Ooh, Skibbity Toilet.
Yes, in a smaller corner there. Yeah, that's what you should do.
All right, I guess. Yeah, because Jason Yarborough, I know, commented, he said all painting competitions should be speed painting, and I 100% agree with him. 100% agree with him. Like, oh, you could paint this great-looking figure over the course of 6 years. Yeah, good fucking luck.
I actually kind of agree with that. I think that would be a really cool, at least a very cool category.
GW would never do it because you wouldn't have stuff painted to a high enough quality.
Well, it wouldn't work for GW. It'd only work for like a convention like Gen Con. Yeah. Where they do have
speed painting.
Well, so sort of. Well, I don't know. Speed slow painting. I don't know. Maybe this is a thing at Gen Con, but my idea is that you buy your item at the convention on day one, return with it painted to us, and everyone paints the same model, because in order to make sure that no one is cheating, the model is an exclusive miniature to the convention.
I mean, it's a good idea. I like the idea. I like speed painting. I think speed painting is a lot more fun. You get an hour to paint one figure. Just go at it.
I've done that, but I'd like to see what people could. I'd like to see what people could do when they have more than a really small amount of time, but not a lot of time.
Well, what I would do then is I would say, like, okay, you have your seat at this, like, you could paint, but we have this area available for you to paint at. But I see it's like, not necessarily, because if I'm going to the convention, I want to spend time at the convention. I want to sit there and paint for 3 days at the convention. I want to sit there and paint my 1 hour and then be like, wow, Joe, you did really well painting this fast. I really like how you highlighted the boobs.
And that is exactly why I want to set it up the way I described, because you think of it, think about it. Like, you'd have to sacrifice time at the convention to win. Will you do it? Will you sacrifice?
Well, what are you willing to sacrifice?
What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice a mediocre pizza?
Oh man. All right. You could, if you want to see more of my stuff, you could go to at Game Classy Joe on Instagram. It's where I put up all my stuff. If you want to see more of Steve, go to his Blue Sky account at Command Throw.
That's me.
Be warned, lots of adult stuff.
You don't even need to warn them, because Blue Sky does it automatically. It's really cool.
Yeah. I just don't want people going, like, some little kid listening to his podcast going, I can't wait to see more of what Steve's doing. Oh, my Lord.
Nobody listening to this podcast is under 35.
It looks like a pink sock. No one listening to this podcast is under 35, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, and don't give me that, like, oh, I'm under 35, and you're like fucking like 33 or 34. Shut up. You know what I'm talking about.
Shut up.
Yeah. You know what I'm fucking saying.
Go back to using your wet palette.
And your oil paints. Squeezing it out of that tube.
See, that's where it is. Like, most podcasts embrace their listeners. We try and alienate our listeners. insulting them directly.
It's part of the fun.
It's part of the fun. It's part of the fun. All right. So, Steve, until next time.
Reach for the sky.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.